What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 11th day of October 2024. And tonight, our producer is none other than the Mighty Andrew. Say, hey, Mighty Andrew.
Hello, Pastor and everyone.
There you go. Already. And tonight in the studio, we have from right to right, because no left is allowed or tolerated anywhere near this studio. Right?
Right.
Amen
so
to that.
We have Aaron Guyanis.
Hello, Pastor.
And we have Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
And Pastor Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to be here.
And then way out yonder, there in the Lone Star State, he stands he stands over 6 foot tall. He's the mighty, mighty Big John McTernan.
6 foot one, Pastor Ernie.
I know.
We won't touch the weight, though. We won't go near the weight.
Yeah, we better leave that alone tonight for both of us,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. Well, God bless you, Pastor Ernie, and all our listeners. May we have a really, really wonderful night tonight.
All right, we're going to give that a good try. Let's start. The title of the message this week, and as we end it tonight, is if the Bema Seat judgment were held today, how would you fare? And we went all through the different scriptures referring to the Bema Seat judgment. And today we're going to pick it up tonight with in Revelation chapter 14, starting with verse 1. We're going to go through 1 through 13. And let's take a verse at a time. So, Richard, would you like to go ahead and read verse 1?
And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having the Father's name written in their foreheads.
So they were sealed. The seal that it talks about is the name of God, who's written in their forehead. And then go ahead with verse 2.
And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps.
Now that's an interesting thing, because all through Scripture here we see it, especially here in Revelation, when it refers to many waters, it refers to nations, many peoples and nations. And so, and I heard the voice from heaven as the voice of many. Do you suppose he's talking about people from many nations in heaven?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. And as they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, that no man could learn the song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. I'm wondering if these are the same that you see in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, where it refers to the firstborn, the church. Mm. And I know, I'll ask McTurnan, he knows about everything.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's wonderful to have him.
What do you think, John? Are we talking about, is this the same that's in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23? But you came unto the Mount of Zion and unto the city of the living God in heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels. But then he says, to the general assembly. That's, I think, is he's referring to, that these are the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are were written in heaven, to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men and perfect. And so, when it said church of the firstborn there, I think that's going to be members of the church from the very beginning to the very end, from the first mm-hmm. Christian saved into the last. What do you think?
Yeah.
Absolutely. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. The general assembly and the church of the firstborn. So, but that is a little complicated, Pastor Ernie, Revelation.
Well, that's why I have you here, because you and Richard are smart.
Right. To bail you out? To bail you out?
Yep.
Well, the 144,000 are mentioned in Revelation chapter 7, and they're called before any judgments upon the earth. And
yeah.
Then you don't hear from them again, really, until here in Revelation 14.
All right, so we're getting here towards the end now. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, that no man could learn the song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. And these are those which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, having the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. So now they're going to have, there's going to be 144,000 flaming John the Baptist here, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be preaching, this is towards the end of the tribulation, and they're going to be preaching the gospel message. Now, during that time, what's going to happen is when we're all gone, when the rapture takes place, people are going to realize hey, where did the church go? Where did the Christians go? Mm. A lot of people are going to say, I remember them saying something about this, the rapture. They're going to start looking for King James Bibles, aren't they?
Yes.
They're going to start saying, you know, something's going on. I think I remember. And especially what's going to happen is when they'll probably outlaw having a Bible, which is going to make people realize that's the answer. We got to get a hold of that. Now, these guys are going to be preaching, again, these are flaming evangelists. They're going to be preaching the gospel.
Well,
and
they are probably the only ones with the Holy Spirit at that time then, because the Holy Spirit has been taken away.
Right.
When God took the saved up to heaven.
So they're going to have to, but the Holy Spirit can return once if they hear the gospel preached, the gospel, and they repent. Now the thing of it is, it's going to be different than it was during the church age, because this is going to be back like it was under the law. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to, as they continue, they're gonna have to keep the faith. They can't, because they're gonna be told, look at your kids over there. Your kids are not going to, they're going to starve unless you take the mark. You take the, look, they got, you want hospital care? You want to get medical care if you take the mark, okay? How cruel can you get if you don't take the mark, right? Mm-hmm. So then they're going to have to resist until the end. They're going to have to hold fast because if they deny the Lord in any way, okay, then they're toast, huh?
Yep.
Yes.
And so that's the way it's going to be different. Like today, we can't lose our salvation.
No, and we have forgiveness of our past sins and our future sins.
Right.
Yes.
So then he picks it up in verse 6, and I saw another angel fly into the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. What is this everlasting gospel?
Oh, it's the gospel, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ.
It's what we're preaching right now, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it's always the blood, Pastor Ernie, the shed blood for the remission of sin, always.
Mm-hmm. Saying with a loud voice, fear God. The fear of God is what?
Beginning of knowledge.
Okay. And give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him that made heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Is this referring to the actual Babylon, or is this referring to Babylon as a type?
A type.
It's referring to the horror of Babylon, Pastor Ernie. Yeah. The religious system at that time, it's got everything you could think of as far as religion goes without Christ. And it's in Revelation chapter 17, it's referred to as the horror of Babylon.
Well, you have the three different aspects of Babylon. You've got the economic Babylon, you've got the political Babylon, and you've got the religious Babylon. All three of those were housed in New York City. Remember that 9/11 when you said Revelation 17, boy. Wow, I watched that in Revelation 18. When I watched New York catch on fire, and by the way, as you go into New York, into the harbor, there's a big billboard out there that says Babylon. It's a little city just outside New York, but it's... Everything, if you read that, is exactly on a small scale what happened on 9/11 in New York City. It's just amazing how you had the World Trade Fire on buildings on fire. This is the world economic system. And then you had all the sailors. Remember the first thing they did, they put in no-fly zones, and then they locked, they made all the ships out there, thousands of ships, dropped. Anchor right where they are. They had to drop the anchor and stay there until they were inspected, okay? And he tells you there in Revelation 17 all the merchandise, how it was spoiled, the merchandise, and how all the sailors and the ships were... I mean, it's just absolute perfect description of what happened on that day in 9/11.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, there's one other thing, Pastor Ernie, from... now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that from the time the first plane crashed in until the towers...
It was exactly 1 hour. I watched it.
1 hour.
It was exactly 1 hour, and it says in 1 hour. Yeah. Wow, and that was amazing. I couldn't believe it, yeah.
What time did the third building collapse?
I don't know what time they collapsed, but from the time the first one to the third one, there was 1 hour.
No, the third one. The towers, you're right, they were, but there was a third building, number seven.
Number seven, that there
was later that night, or later that, that was, late afternoon.
That was...
demolition.
Yeah, that was a demolition job. Okay. Yeah. Saying what allowed, well, let me go on here. Verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, one of the reasons, you know, I preach this message is because of all the letters and things that was happening right now. The old heresy of salvation for everybody has risen, okay? I've got these knuckleheads that are writing me these letters telling me everybody's going to get saved. Everyone gets saved, right? Let me read that verse again. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in a cup of indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Okay, so it says, if any man worship the beast and his image, does that sound like everyone's going to get saved?
No.
Okay, so what do you think is going to happen when we're all taken out? There'll be no resistance to the Democrats. I mean, they'll have no resistance anymore. And what do you think that's going to happen when that announcement is made? You take the mark or you don't eat, you don't drink. What do you think the world's going to do out there? They're going to take the mark.
Right.
A large percentage, yes, Pastor Ernie. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, those that worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying it to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit. Now listen to this last part. This is why we keep telling you, now is the time to place up crowns in heaven. Now is the time to place up your crowns in heaven, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Mm-hmm. Your works follow you into heaven. Mm-hmm. Your works follow you. What you do in these bodies today that we have will follow you into heaven.
That's right.
And believe me, folks, you can't put up too many crowns in glory, can you?
No. Way.
So, and with that, we're going to stop there because we have so much to do tonight. We're going to run, Andrew, if you can run this clip, and because we're going to take a look at about what is taking place about some of these storms and things that are happening out there. Run it 11 minutes. If you could run this clip 11 minutes, John, keep a listen to this, and then we'll do a lot of commentary afterwards.
Okay, Pastor.
One of the reasons I know a major reset is coming, that is a forced reset of the system, is because all the scams that the globalists have used to imprison, enslave, and deceive humanity, all those scams are being exposed one by one now, and they can't keep running them forever. For example, the fluoride scam has now been totally exposed. Fluoride is a neurological poison, a psychiatric mind-numbing drug that has been dripped into the water supply for all these years to try to keep people docile.
Alrighty, we got our clips backwards. So what we're going to do, we're going to switch the clips, and then this clip that you were just hearing, we're going to play in the second hour. And so go ahead and play the first clip there.
What's occurring in our skies? Nothing short of all-out weather warfare at this point. We can speculate about the agendas and objectives being carried out, but the fact that these storms are absolutely being manipulated and steered is inarguable. The denial of this fact is absolutely ludicrous at this point. We know the U.S. military and others around the globe, but U.S. military has been engaged in these operations since 1947, Project Cirrus. How far have they come since that point? So the cyclones are being kept weakened over water with manipulation of atmospheric pressure zones. And once they're near enough to the land-based network of frequency transmitters, the NEXRAD network, they are steered. And that steering is incredibly inarguable if we look at the animation of the frequency transmissions and their interaction with the storm, in this case, Hurricane Helene. We have it. We recorded that, and that video, if we can roll that now, the interaction is absolutely inarguable.
Result of natural processes and climate patterns, or was it manipulated? The circular blue flashes seen in this video are frequency transmissions from the NEXRAD network of transmitter installations. All available science evidence makes clear that atmospheric frequency transmissions can and do have a repelling effect on air masses, especially if and when the air masses have been seeded with electrically conductive nanoparticles. The brighter the blue flash from a frequency transmission installation, the more pronounced and powerful the repelling effect on any air mass or storm in the vicinity will be. Where there are no blue flashes, there is no transmission, thus no repelling effect, thus no resistance for a migrating storm. Translation: a migrating storm will be hindered from moving toward frequency transmissions and will easily migrate in a direction with no transmissions. So again, I ask, was Hurricane Helene's path and behavior just an act of nature, or was it engineered? You decide.
The bottom line is it was directed there, as the transmission recordings clearly show. They kept that moisture corralled there to deluge in the same location. So again, these are patented technologies, and the fact that we have the entire so-called meteorological community denying that this is going on to protect their paychecks and pensions is absolutely criminal at this point. We know we have private defense contractors that are neck deep in the patents that manipulate these storms, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin. We know those two in particular do the weather modeling for the nation's weathermen, National Weather Service and NOAA. Again, both agencies have an illegal federal gag order on them. So at this point, this is an emperor has no clothes moment. That's the best description I can give for something that is so blatantly obvious and inarguable, can only be considered weather warfare at this point. And the fact that, again, the so-called science community is denying this manipulation is criminal. It's absolutely criminal, Colonel McGregor.
Why do you think the Asheville area in particular turned out to be a target? Does it have anything to do with the mining operations there for lithium or quartz? Is that just coincidental? I'm just curious. Again, people in Asheville are asking these questions. They're trying to find a rationale for why they ended up being in the middle of this.
Well, certainly it's hard to call anything a coincidence at this point, isn't it? I mean, we have so many agendas and objectives being carried out with every action of the military-industrial complex and the money printer bankers that fund them and control them ultimately. And we have a cyclonic rotation like this that does that kind of decimation inland. And yet we have, in the record warm Gulf of Mexico, nothing develops, nothing spins or damages the oil infrastructure there. Why is that? We see those, any rotation that comes anywhere near the oil infrastructure is immediately broken up. Yet we have this type of scenario happening inland. So again, once you interfere with the climate system, the entire system becomes derailed, and we have a global network interfering with the system. We have documents at geoengineeringwatch.org, some hundreds of pages long, some nearly 1,000 pages long, documenting the international cooperation in these programs, even between otherwise adversarial nations. So again, they will try to hide and deny these programs until the last possible hour, Colonel McGregor, because if the public realizes the entire weather system has been derailed and is being manipulated, and no weather cataclysm can then be said to be natural, which means that you can't deny the connection of climate engineering for any event anywhere, the liability issue is incalculable. And so again, even this one issue that just happened in the Carolinas, how could you possibly even calculate the liability issue there when hundreds of people are still missing? I believe 100 already officially declared dead, but 100 still missing. If this issue is brought out into the open, the fur is going to fly, Colonel McGregor.
If you can do so, could you tell us about some of your recent discussions, conversations, briefings that you've had with political leaders from the states in question that have asked you what you think? First of all, what did they specifically ask you, if you can tell us, and how did they respond to your answers?
Yes, Colonel McGregor, I had an hour conference call yesterday with the representatives and senators from the Carolinas, and we presented the data to them to answer their questions about how this manipulation occurs. They realized this was not a natural event. They're trying to digest the fact that their states were literally under assault from weather modification operations that are clearly connected with DOD operations. And we can speculate again on the agendas and objectives being carried out, but the fact that the storm was manipulated is absolutely inarguable.
I'm Colin Farrell, and I play...
We know that technology to stop these rotations from even occurring has existed for decades with the manipulation of atmospheric pressure zones. HAARP in Alaska is one example many people are familiar with. That's an ionosphere heater. That's a weapon of mass destruction, period. It can cause an electrical chain reaction in the ionosphere, which heats it to extraordinarily high temperatures, which causes the atmosphere to bulge up and down. The downward push creates a high pressure dome that can steer the jet stream. And the same type of manipulation can create low pressure zones. When they have this type of power over the climate system, they can make or break these storms anytime they want. And again, what we see now is storms kept weaker as they're over the ocean because they're harder to steer until they reach the land-based network of transmitters. And then we have, Colonel McGregor, rapid intensification. You've heard that term probably a lot lately because that's how they manipulate these storms. And again, we have Acapulco last October being the extreme example of rapid intensification. An insignificant low pressure system developed into the strongest Cat 5 hurricane to ever hit that part of the world in less than 24 hours, laid waste to Acapulco. And by the way, Hurricane John, which just hit Acapulco again as Hurricane Helene was wreaking havoc in the Carolinas, not many people know that. So Acapulco just got dealt another blow. So again, how many agendas and objectives are being carried out when we know they can manipulate these storms and we know they can make or break them anytime they want? And again, I bring up the oil infrastructure in the Gulf of Mexico that seems to magically miss any sort of damaging storm again and again and again, while the storms wreak havoc inland and on shorelines. It's not a coincidence. They have that much sway over the storms.
Well, when you highlighted these anomalies to the audience of political leaders and representatives and so forth, how did they react? Did they react, with a degree of serious skepticism, or did they take you seriously?
They're in shock. They're in shock. Because when you realize that you're literally at war with those who control the federal government, how does one digest that? And when we go all the way back to, again, as I've referenced many times, even 62 years ago, Lyndon Johnson, President Johnson, then stating we had the power to control the world's cloud layer and he who controls the weather controls the world. We're seeing this happen all over the globe. We're seeing countries like Dubai, as you remember recently, got 2 years worth of rain, 2 years worth in 6 hours, right after they decide to ditch the dollar. Is that a coincidence? We see this kind of event over and over. So climate engineering is the crown jewel weapon of the military-industrial complex because they can and are bringing populations to their knees without those populations ever even knowing they're under assault, and they blame it on nature. That's why this is such a coveted weapon, and they're not about to give it up, even though it's destroying the ozone layer, contaminating the entire planet. Every breath we take is contaminated with climate engineering fallout. Part of that is nanoplastics. Anyone who looks, I challenge your listeners to look nanoplastic contamination, human organs. We know it's showing up in the brain, all of our organs. And we know there's decomposing plastics in the environment. We're not denying that. But when you have this type of ubiquitous contamination of nanoplastics that appears to be a manufactured particle, that's not just decomposing plastics. So again, this assault is not just environmental. It's a contamination of virtually the entire planet. And all of us.
Well, you paint a very grim and frightening picture, and I'm sure that's necessary to get people's attention. Now that you have people's attention, and you're talking to an audience inside Our Country, Our Choice, but also this will eventually go out to others. What do you want American citizens to do who are listening to you right now? What do you recommend that they do?
I'm asking them to behave as if they're fighting for their lives, because they are. And I can't take the long way around the barn with this. It's too many people want to pretend there's some happy ending if we just take a few meager steps in a particular direction or post something on a blog somewhere. We have to absolutely bring this issue out into the full light of day. That's the only chance we have of stopping it from the inside out, so that those participating, and this is so very key, our military brothers and sisters and defense industry families and participants there, so that they understand that they're participating in their own near-term demise. We have to push this issue out into the full light of day, Colonel McGregor. And this issue is connected to so many other lethal, immediate threats. For example, the disintegrating ozone layer, and we are getting UVC on the surface now. That's the last spectrum of UV radiation before X-ray. Climate engineering is the core causal factor, not just the sprayed particulates, which cause an oxidative effect on the ozone layer, disintegrating it, but the frequency transmissions that are being used, just like you saw with Hurricane Helene, all of this destroying the ozone layer. Now we're susceptible to a CME, a coronal mass ejection, because we don't have the atmospheric protection. Not only is it frying plants, foliage, insects, plankton, but we're susceptible to a large coronal mass ejection, which would shut down grid power around the globe, which would cause nuclear power plants to not be able to cool themselves. And now we have Fukushima times 100 or 200. So from every conceivable direction, what's happening in our skies holds all of our futures in the near-term balance.
Alrighty. All right, folks, we are back. And, you know, here, Matthew chapter 24, he says, "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places." All of these are the beginning of sorrows. And, of course, all of these things that we're having, pestilences is what we're just listening to there, are taking place, you know, between, I mean, they're coming up with so many different ways of killing people today. Yes. It's all about death. The deep state is the death state, isn't it?
Now they want to cut the population down by one third, and they're thinking of any way they can do it.
More than a third, they want to. The population is nearing 8 billion, and they want to cut it down to 500 million. When I said in their meetings, yeah.
Is that right?
That's their goal.
The shot?
Well, the shot, but what you're talking about here, just is
microplastics.
Yeah. So many different. These are pestilence. That's what pestilence is, okay? All of those things, the shots and all those things.
Have you heard of scorpion kabbage?
No.
They're literally mixing scorpion DNA with cabbage.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've done all kinds of strange things. They're trying to mix like pork with spiders, with the DNA spider DNA, and I mean just you know, to raise hogs. I mean it's. And then of course some years ago, I remember the big controversy when they wanted to do that with these Italian. Scientists try to mix human DNA with hogs, okay?
Have you heard of ligers or tigons?
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. Yeah, that's a mixture between a lion and a tiger that they can't.
Yeah.
Normally they can't mate. Or they can mate, but a tigon or liger cannot reproduce on its own. And so, anyhow, those are things that's happening right now. Pardon?
There's a verse from Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. It's a little long, and I just want to share the last part out of it.
Yeah, go ahead, sure.
And Revelation 11, 18, the very last section says, "And shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." So one of the reasons that the Lord, for his second coming, is the earth is going to be destroyed by man. And he is going to destroy them that are destroying his earth. That's why there's going to be a makeover when Christ returns. One of the reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. I mean, you just hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah,
so these are the days we're living in.
Good scripture, yeah.
Yes.
And so,
yeah, Pastor Ernie, man is so wicked now in rebellion against God that they want to anything God created, they want to destroy, like babies in the womb. These people want to, they literally want to kill every one of them. And then they want to destroy marriage. God created marriage between a man and a woman. They want to destroy that. God created us male and female. So now they want to take little children that are confused at a young age and try to take a boy, turn him into a girl into a boy. But also, what everything you're seeing, like the any information you just provided, that's man trying to destroy God's creation. They're trying to literally destroy our atmosphere.
Well, you know, Richard Soldin, we have an article there, and it's the public school teacher. Go ahead, Richard.
It says, teacher tells kids their parents guessed if they were a boy or a girl at birth.
Oh, my goodness.
And could have been wrong. The federal judge has delivered a stunning blow to a teacher's agenda to teach very young students that they could be transgender. The lessons were delivered by a first grade teacher in Lebanon school district in Pennsylvania. Without notifying parents, she pushed the kids into a non-curricular lesson about transgenderism and shockingly informed them that their parents guessed about their being male or female when they were born, and their parents could have been wrong.
Well, here's the thing about that. Look, that's a first grade teacher, and obviously, but here, remember, the AMA came out and said that they were no longer going to put male or female on birth certificates because there was no certainty that there was there were difference what a male was or a female. Nobody really knew.
Wow.
And so
that's the American Medical Association.
Yeah.
Pastor Ernie, in the scriptures it says, thinking themselves wise, they became fools. And that's the only thing I could think of. I mean, not the only thing, but when you were just talking about that, that's what comes to mind. They think that they're so smart. They're so intelligent. They can do everything. Just put everything in their hands. And they don't know how to define a woman. Yet they think that they're geniuses.
And Romans says that they were given over to a reprobate mind. So there
they're
you
mentally
go.
Ill. Yes.
Well, you have a woman on the Supreme Court that says she doesn't know what a woman is.
Oh,
okay?
For crying out loud.
Well, that's because she said she's not a biologist.
Right. Okay. And so I don't know what a car is because I'm not a mechanic, right?
The Democrat Party's literally mentally ill.
Yes.
Well, you see, here to put tampon machines in boys' bathroom, that shows there's a fool behind that.
Yes.
You've got to be an all-out fool to do that, right?
Yes.
And so
that's the governor of Minnesota.
Yep. and during the Communist Party convention, they actually had a woman there saying that, well, it's a known fact that some boys have menstrual periods. That was their, you know, during their convention.
Gee.
I mean, these people have lost, they literally have lost, well, they've been given over to reprobate minds. So we're dealing with people that are.
They have turned against God, Pastor Ernie. They've rejected God and his word, and therefore he turns them over to a reprobate mind. They're under judgment.
Absolutely.
They don't know it, but when we look at the word of God and we look at their actions, they are under the direct judgment of God.
You know, this is why, what has happened recently, which was news, was with Melania Trump, when she came out and made her statement, she really, really turned the pro-life community against her. And here, I know that that Lila Rose is one, and others have come out and said that they're not going to vote for Trump because of that. And I know why she did it. This was a political ploy that happened going back with Ronald Reagan, when his wife came out as pro-death, when Ronald Reagan was very pro-life. When Daddy Bush
Senior, his wife did the same thing.
And so did Bush Jr., W., not only his wife, but his two daughters, mm-hmm. all came out as pro-death, okay? It's about discernment. I'll tell you, guys, where the Bible is very, very clear. It tells you that if you kill that child, that you deserve to die, and then it tells you, unrepent, and you deserve to burn in hell. And so, in fact, Jesus said you'd be better off to have a millstone hung around your neck and drowned than to harm one of those little ones. And in fact, he said it'd be better if you'd never born at all, didn't mm-hmm. do that. So, yet we have, and again, that's a whole or large segment of our society. And, you know, the Bible teaches, again, you know, people don't want to recognize this. They don't want to recognize this because of the so-called feminist movement that you have in the country today. But he tells you there in Isaiah that as a punishment, God gives women and incompetent men as leaders as a punishment, okay? Mm-hmm. And so what are they doing today? They want to get, you know, this country, it wants to self-destruct. They want to get as many women in office. And if you take a look at most all of these women governors, not all of them, we got some good. They know there's some good women out there, and I praise the good Lord. I'd rather have a good woman in office than a bad man, okay?
Amen. Sarah Huckabee yes. Sanders.
She's yeah, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is, and I like that name, see there? Now that she is, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you know, I would have her any day over Bernie Sanders, right?
Yes, okay. Goodness, yes.
And so here also you had an article over here, just taking a look. No, I lost the article, but anyhow. But see, what's happening is people, they don't want to recognize parts of God's Word, the Bible, the Scriptures, that they disagree with. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have this, and it goes with discernment, and it tells you we're seeing something happening today. You know, we're seeing the young men now, or it used to be when I went to college, 80% of the people going were males, okay? Today it's different. Now there's a lot more females attending college. Mm-hmm. The young men, they're heading towards trade schools, which is good, because we certainly need a lot more carpenters and plumbers and electricians than we do lawyers, right?
Amen.
Yes.
And these young women, they want to be socialist workers and lawyers, okay? And the interesting thing is they're pro-death. They are pro for the, not all of them. Look, you have a good portion of the look at that shows up at Trump's rallies. There are a lot of women there.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that it's lopsided, and that's got to do with poor discernment. They've chose death over life. Mm-hmm. And so there you go. If you know, you ask these women, aren't you glad your mother didn't kill you? And why don't we just say what it is, you know, instead of just using the word abortion, why don't we just say what it is? Look, let me ask you this. Up until 1973, for hundreds of years, people went to jail for killing babies, right? Mm-hmm. It was a crime. God says it's a crime, okay? It's worse than a crime. It's a sin against God. And
God hates the hands that shed innocent blood.
Yes.
Right.
What's more innocent than a child?
And it's
unborn child.
That's exactly right, okay? Not only that, he says, but the blood cries out to him. Our sewers in this country have run red from coast to coast with the blood of innocents mm-hmm. crying yes. out. And the problem is what I just said here, John and Richard, the vast majority of the pastors in this country don't have the courage or the integrity to say what we've just said.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, and every believer should be pro-life because God's pro-life. That's what it comes down to. And then when it goes to voting, we got to encourage those who at least vote. You can't support the Democrats because of what we just talked about. They're mentally ill.
Well,
men can't have periods.
You right. know, you've got the language of illusion, delusion, and confusion out there today. He tells you in Isaiah 66 how he gives them over. What a good passage of Scripture. Turn to Isaiah 66. I'll show you something in verse 4 there. Boy, if this don't describe really... describe this society, what you're referring to here. And somebody trying to get there before I do.
I'm there, Pastor Ernie. I'm ready.
Are you ready? Man, I knew you were born ready, John.
Yeah, well, I got my electric Bible. I don't have to thumb through the pages and waste time.
Okay. Did I say?
I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and choose that in which I delight not.
Okay, go back first, though, and read verse 3. Read the previous verse.
Killeth an ox as if he had slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb as he had cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and his soul delighted in their abomination.
Now, let me ask you this. Does that not describe perfectly the apostate church that goes through the motions of having church, and yet everything they do is an abomination? Mm-hmm. They promote, where it comes to marriage, okay, they soil the marriage with sodomite marriage, which, you know, God gave us the divine institution and made it very clear marriage was between one man and one woman for one lifetime. Where it comes to abortion, you know, the killing children, the Bible tells you the very first command that God gave us was to be fruitful and multiply. By the time he hit Genesis 9, where he gave us the divine institution of human government, he had mentioned three times, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth life and not death.
Mm-hmm.
But the apostate church promotes death. They promote pedophilia. And that's exactly what he was telling these people here. Everything they do, their sacrifices to him are abominable. They're abominations. And so God has sent them strong delusion. What do you think that delusion is in all of this?
Well, the ultimate delusion, Pastor Ernie, will be to worship the beast, the Antichrist.
I know, but you think these people here today, look, I've had dealings. We just had a woman calling this week on the radio talking about why won't you help women by allowing them or promoting them to have abortions, okay? And this woman's mind, killing a child, there was nothing wrong with killing a child. It was a good thing to do, okay? And here, you know, I was telling her,
did
look,
she claim to be saved?
Oh, yeah, okay. And what I was telling her, first of all, God has says that abortion, the killing your child, is murder. God has said that. Well, she was telling me that she was good with God, okay, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Goodness.
Who's
sakes.
She been talking to, and what God is that?
Well, yes. that's where it comes to the delusions here in the apostate church.
Yes.
You'll have a lesbian pastor in the United Church of the Antichrist promoting. You had this pastor there at a church in Chesterland referred to himself as Satan, okay, talking about putting babies in a microwave. But you see, and you'll notice in a lot of these apostate churches, they have daycare centers for the purpose of making children available to sodomites, to pedophiles.
Wow.
And so, but now, are all these things that we're talking about, are these not all the type of things that the Bible refers to in the last days? Romans
That's why
chapter.
We should yes. have the death penalty for human traffickers and death penalty for fentanyl dealers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there should be.
Yes.
Anyone, especially those that, you know, that harm children, those for child sex traffickers. And yet the federal government is the biggest purveyor of child sex traffickers in the world.
Taxpayer-funded, government-sanctioned
yeah.
human trafficking.
All the NGOs, okay.
It's appalling. Congress should do something about that. The Senate should do something about that.
Yeah, they should do something about
They're
that.
They're using our money to to harm these children and adults. To, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a child or adult. It's horrible.
Well, yeah, and it's because the people have allowed it. First of all, this nation is in the condition it's in because of lack of repentance. They really don't realize what they've done. Like in Jeremiah chapter 2, when it says in verse 34 that those women were, he says, your skirts are filled with the blood of the innocent. And he makes the point there, you know, that he didn't have to look upon their hearts, their own mouths condemned them. And they said, well, we've done nothing wrong because we were allowed to do it. It was legal. We've done nothing wrong because it was legal.
And the churches have not stood up and held their ground through the years, and that has deteriorated and deteriorated just in our lifetime. What we've seen in our lifetime, the churches aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Because there's been such a dearth of courage in the pulpit.
Yes.
It goes right back to the dearth of courage. And they'd rather be comfortable. Okay, look, you're going to get a lot more people in, a lot more money in the offering plate if you'll compromise. Avoid any subjects, like Joel Osteen says. Avoid anything that causes, you know, that would harm the offering plate. Don't ever preach against sin. It just makes people feel bad, right? And so people, they want their ears tickled, and they want to go there, and they want to hear Joel tell them how much God can do for them instead of what they can do for God, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And they're going to regret it in the end, aren't they?
They sure are.
Yes.
They sure are. I was going to mention here, we were talking about how God turned them over to a reprobate mind. In that passage in Romans, there's a word that is called, it's in verse 31, it's implacable. And that word, it can't be satisfied. And that's how we can identify sin. You have to have more and more. It's implacable. You can't satisfy it. And that's exactly what we see today is with these people getting into sin, and then they have to have more and more and more of it.
Right. Everything, they turn good into evil and evil into good, and they hate the good. The Bible says that they hate those that are good, okay? And they do.
Pastor Ernie, whatever is of God, they hate. They're the antithesis of God, literally. So, like I said, God says, be fruitful and multiply, and what do? They want to kill every baby. He's a man and a woman to be married. Anybody now can get married or anything, or, you know, they totally
soiled the institution of marriage, huh?
Yeah, they have. I mean, he made it as male and female. Well, they can't accept that. So now we went over earlier about polluting the atmosphere and how they're like destroying the earth. Well, God created the heavens and the earth, and they and their reprobate minds are they bent on literally like destroying the earth, the atmosphere. They've got reprobate minds, and whatever is against God, they are for.
Absolutely, and whatever God loves the most, like the unborn, like the children, they hate the most, right? And so, yeah. And like the Lord Jesus said, they hate you, it's because they hated me first, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so,
well, there's going to be global warming. Which chapter of Revelation is that? When the
I just read that.
Revelation 6.
Yep.
16.
There's your global warming.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. We're going to be coming up to a break, and then when we come back from the break, we have another clip that's very interesting. To realize the days that we are living in today. Okay, and folks, now is the time to run to the battle. Now is the time to place up your crowns of glory. If you folks in Ohio, vote no on issue one. This is very important. I got to get that out. It's very important, and I'll explain why right after this.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.